With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
My God, that's terrible. Are you strangling a cat, Paddy?
No, I'm actually trying to make one of those ads where they get people's attention by using the sound of some really unusual noise.
Well, that makes more sense.
I'm learning the Ghanaian bamboo flute. I think it'll get everyone's attention.
Could you not just tell them about the really good sign-up offer for listeners of the Football Ramble? You know, the one where you open a Paddy Power account, bet a tenner and get a free 20 quid bet, no strings.
We all know the answer to that one. Go to paddypower.com/ramble.
Here come the hot stepper, I'm the football rambler, back once again for the renegade master, like Cleopatra coming at you, laying down opinions of a different nature. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're back!
That is a big start, Marcus.
Oh, it's the football ramble!
You'd think I would have finished my sandwich.
You can't keep that up.
I beg your pardon.
You've set a high watermark there.
Let's go back to the words. Ladies and gentlemen, it's good to be back. The season has now started. It's begun.
A lot of people on Twitter getting a little bit annoyed, saying the season started a little while ago for a lot of league supporters.
Until
Suarez has kicked a football.
So the eighth week of the Premier League season. My name's Marcus. It's a football round. It's a pleasure to have you here. Pete's with me.
Hello. How you doing, everyone?
Luke is here.
All right.
Jim's not. Jim's doing his comedies up in Edinburgh.
He's up in Edinburgh, as is the custom.
Where he's known as Captain Comedy.
Yeah. Mm.
It's hard to have a big finish when there's only three of us. Big start, I mean.
Big finish.
Big finish. Happy finish.
Save that one for the girlfriend.
Why? Less of that. Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have a little recap to start the first show of the season.
We started in April 2007. I was wondering what you meant.
It was England 3, Andorra 0.
It was.
David Nugent.
He scored.
Got the football. That was why it started.
Is that why it kick-started the start of the ramble? Because the Nuge played for England.
That's the rumour we like to fuel.
To expunge. What was your favourite thing that happened during the close season, Pete?
The Italy-Spain shootout in the Confed.
Oh, excellent choice.
Still going.
Still happening. Still happening. Still scoring grotesquely awesome penalties.
Most,
it's a lottery, Luke. It's a lottery.
Yeah, it is.
Not if you put it in the corners.
You can't be good at penalty.
most English fans watching it going, this is not how I remember
it. He's not allowed to go on this long.
This is a lottery. This is literally luck. How's this going? How's this happening? That's brilliant.
It was a delicious penalty.
Finished 7-6 in the end?
I think so.
Yeah.
It was a brilliant tournament, the Confederations Cup.
It was fantastic. I think that was definitely my favourite. I actually quite enjoyed the Women's Euros as well, but
yeah.
I think the clearance off the line from David Luiz in that match. If goal line technology had ruled that out and sort of said that was actually a goal.
Against Spain in the final,
And I just sort of think I would have just stopped watching football because that was a beautiful clearance. And if that had said that, if they said that was a goal, I would have been not having that.
In fairness, the Euro 2012 clearance from John Terry for England was a really good clearance.
It was actually.
Yeah, I mean, it was over the line, but it was a brilliant effort.
It was.
You've got to hand it to him for that, you know.
John Terry he can't cut things out when they're actually coming at him. He's the king of the last gasp.
Yeah. Exactly. Definitely used his sight for that one. Mm. But yeah, the Confederations Cup was brilliant. Great goals. Neymar. Brazil winning.
Yeah.
It was
nice
to see again.
I like that because it was good to see them respond well to the pressure of being host. A bit of a dry run for the World Cup.
Yeah. Mm.
And we've all enjoyed, I mean, the sort of dominance of Spain has sort of really paralleled us doing the show, hasn't it? So ever since we've really been doing the show, Spain have been different class.
That's right.
Yeah, they've made considerably more money than us.
Oh yeah, I'd say so. That wouldn't be difficult.
but credit on both accounts. No,
but the thing is that it would be good to see a team who's maybe not so, sort of functional.
Yeah.
Have the mantle taken on by a team who's a bit more flair-based. I think Brazil may have the team to be able to do that.
A bit of samba.
Yeah, exactly. And the World Cup's obviously there next year.
They've got Fred. He's functional.
Yeah, that is true.
One of Fred's quotes, he'll kill a lion every day from now until the World Cup to get in that squad.
And throw the corpse in the goal.
Glorious. But yeah, the Confederations, my highlight of the tournament actually was Italy 4, Japan 3.
Yeah.
What was great about the tournament, and people say, there's not much interest. There was big scoring games at an international tournament. We haven't seen that for years.
And most of these players had played about 50 to 60 games since the start of the season. Come on now.
Diego Forlan smashed one home.
Yeah.
I think the Tahiti players felt like they'd played 50 to 60 games in one.
Oh, lovely. And of course, the Brazilian fans were fantastic. The anthems. And
the rioting.
And the protests.
The government, the Brazilian government being shits.
I tell you what, FIFA are bricking it, aren't they?
No. It's the people who are complaining.
They're bricking FIFA.
And on that note, my highlight of the summer was actually FIFA doing a sponsorship deal with Coca-Cola,
right,
who are now the official sponsors of the FIFA World Rankings.
Is that right?
That slipped under the radar for anyone else. Good. I'm sure it hasn't for you two.
I was more concerned with the pack they did with the devil.
That was years ago, the 70s.
My real one would be...
What's yours?
Tahiti in the Confederations Cup, a stand on the Confederations Cup sort of flavour. But more specifically, they lost 6-1 to Nigeria, but they scored a goal.
And
obviously the last thing I want to do is to be patronising because they earned the right to be there and it was great to see them there. Mm. But the reason I wanted to bring it up was because it was a nice goal, nice whipped corner, far post header, good header by Jonathan Tahal. But it meant so much.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not patronising to say it was my highlight because it clearly meant so much to them. And you had everything you wanted. You know, you had a whip corner to the back post and a header, which is a lovely touch.
English goal.
A manager fist pump, double fist pump on the touchline. even though they're 3-1 down, because it said like he was thinking, that's an important goal to get.
Yeah.
We're back in this. And also, a massive pylon.
That's it, isn't it?
It was the most glorious goal of the summer, that.
It's just one almighty big tick.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. And after they scored it, you could see the manager look at Tahal, who scored it, and he gave him a look as if to say, right, get your head on now, we're back in this. We're taking this now.
Exactly.
We've got the momentum.
Yeah.
3-0, that's an important goal to get 3-1.
I think it's fair to say the Confederations Cup is possibly bigger than the World Cup now.
Yeah.
It's the one we've all been waiting for.
Yeah.
you have to win the World Cup to get in it.
Yeah.
That's why the tournaments are so important.
Exactly. It's the best of the best, isn't it?
Literally is. Yeah. It really is. You can't deny.
England will never be in it, will they?
Not at this rate. I don't know. If we went El Clasico on Wednesday against Scotland, then maybe the original Clasico.
Yeah.
My highlight, Liverpool's list of non-usable words around the club.
Oh, that was very strong. Yeah. Yeah. Enjoyed that.
That was fun. It's quite good.
I think when they're writing the list out, they're kind of like, if we have to do this, the battle's already lost. It's already lost.
But I think it's like, it was so stupid. I can't remember any examples because it's just silly stuff. And it was like, if you're going to put that one in, then you've got to have that. And then you've got to have that. Yeah. And the guy's like, oh my goodness, I'm not getting home.
Who wrote the sun down?
I did quite like, as I'm sure you all did, the Red Star Belgrade manager's quote after a poor performance in the Europa League qualifier match against an Icelandic side.
Yeah, we all remember that one.
Yeah, yeah. He told his players to stop eating meat pies before training.
Meat pies?
Yeah. And drinking beer after training.
Yeah.
And he quoted saying, cigarettes and nights out on boat bars lined up along the river are also out of the question.
I mean, that sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah, land-based boozing, fine.
If I see another professional footballer on a boat bar lined up along the river, I'd tell you, this podcast's over.
To me, training starts... I mean, I've been to training grounds and stuff. Training does start reasonably
after
early.
After a meat pie.
Yeah, they're squeezing that meat pie in very early on.
Yeah, Wayne Rooney should complain about eating pasta at 11 o'clock in the morning for the 12 o'clock kickoffs. But I mean, I like meat pie.
I mean, I like to think of myself as a meat pie expert. So I mean, that's surprised even me.
Shouldn't have opened a Greggs by the. True. There are other pastry shops available.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Frebentos, their league.
Who's going to win? It's the penalty shootout. Pete takes the points.
I can have no complaints.
Yeah.
But the whole of Tahiti are an enemy of Marcus Fulham.
They'd have all had a coronary if they'd have won the points as well.
Yeah, that's true. Ridiculous.
So it's best not. Yeah. We move on to the Community Shield, formerly known as the Charity Shield. Remember the days, ladies and gentlemen. Manchester United won 2-0. What a win for David Moyes, first silverware of the season. Although he said it was a piece of silverware for Sir Alex.
Yeah, you won't be saying that when they win a proper one.
When they lose.
Yeah. Didn't he also say, but from now on, if we win them, they're mine?
Did he actually?
I think he said something about
which
that.
Which is fair enough, I think. Yeah, Fergie, you've had your one.
Yeah.
Robin van Persie got the goals, but Wayne Rooney wasn't there.
No. In body or in spirit.
Yeah, and all the above.
Who needs him when Van Persie's gone, yeah, remember last season? I'm going to do it again.
It was like Van Persie never been away. And admittedly, I mean, Wigan...
But he started that move off for the header. That was what was glorious about it.
He's setting himself up, Mill.
Yeah. Jesus.
Wigan seem to have moved to a sort of more long... I mean, in fairness, the one thing I would say is I didn't see them against was it Barnsley?
Barnsley, they
had a good win, didn't they? Mm. I didn't see how they played there, but I mean, it seemed to... In this Community Shield game, they were just tossing the ball up to Grant Holt without a care, without a clue, and it's not going to be effective, you know. And you could argue that they weren't going to be effective playing the Martinez style against United on a big pitch, but they did that against City at Wembley. And Wembley isn't that big a pitch compared to other pitches anyway.
True, but they didn't have Grant Holt up front.
Well, that was the thing. I can't have been watching that much football or watching that much Sky Sports News over the summer because I looked at it and went, why is Grant Holt on? Oh, God, you haven't read a newspaper in a while, Donald.
I know what you mean. You get a bit consumed by the Ashes and the Olympic centenary.
This is the first summer that we've had off for like two. So I thought, I'm going to take a good couple of months off. Kinnear's at Newcastle. Don't want to read about football for a couple of months. It'll be fine. Transfer window closes. I'll start watching football again.
I think you get the grace period of the transfer window. to get things wrong with transfers.
You're absolutely right. I've watched a lot of cricket. I've watched a lot of athletics. I watched the Confed Cup.
Yeah.
Apart from that, played
a lot of video games. I can tell you what happens in The Last of Us. That's about it.
Good for you.
Yeah. But I did like...
Save it for the finale.
I did like the game. I enjoyed it. It was good to see a sort of game, what is traditionally the curtain raiser.
I mean,
we had the Football League, which I'm sure we'll come onto in a minute, but the traditional curtain raiser was good. I thought, United still got real central midfield issues. And on the Wayne Rooney thing... Mm-hmm. I think, my inkling is, and I've got no insight into it, obviously, but just from experience, I think he may go. I think they just want to line up a replacement first.
I think you're right there.
And the way they're going about their transfer policy, to me, seems completely anathema to what United normally do. I mean, they're being very public about it. It doesn't seem to be the most effective way of operating for a couple of reasons. One, because it's generally good to do your business behind closed doors anyway.
Yep.
But secondly, because if... And there are obviously truths and foundations in these rumours that are coming out from the press. And so if they go for a Fabregas first and it doesn't happen, and then they go for Modric, you've almost got another barrier for yourself because then Modric knows he wasn't the first choice player.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and for whoever they go afterwards would be the case. Mm. And I also wonder whether they don't really want to sell Rooney to Chelsea because that's where he'll go before they play them. I think they might want to wait until towards the end of the transfer.
But isn't it the case these sort of players, they've got so many agents and spokes models and spokespersons and stuff where they just sort of they're just yapping constantly. Wayne Rooney wants to go. Fabregas might come back. These players surround themselves with people who just can't close their bloody mouths.
Well, yeah, you wonder whether agents have some sort of business model, which means they want to move big players on every couple of years or so to make money. I mean, we all know about Paul Stratford. I mean, Marcus has got experience with the man.
The people I know.
He represented you for a time.
If only.
And then it's the same with Bale and Jonathan Barnett representing Bale. You wonder where that's come from initially. Yeah. But Rooney has shown form in the past of wanting to leave. He seems to me to be someone who's blessed with a lot of ability and on his day can do great things. I mean, he's got more assists than Bale and Suarez put together last season in the league, so he can perform when he wants to, but he seems to not take his fitness that seriously and seems to just want to derail his own career for reasons known only to himself.
Well, it was interesting what Moyes said last month when he's talking about Rooney, and he said, overall, my thought on Wayne is, for any reason we had an injury to Robin van Persie, we'll need him. And then he went on to say, Manchester United...
But Rooney took that as like a slight, didn't he?
But it is, though, isn't it?
Well, I don't
think
he meant
it like that. Have you seen Robin Van Persie play football? That's the thing. And also, have you seen how many times Robin Van Persie actually gets injured? So it's not like that's not going to happen.
yeah, but that's basically saying to Rooney, you know, you're second fiddle to Van Persie.
Yeah, but I think you can read it that way if you want to. I don't think David Moyes' modus operandi would be to come into a new club, a massive club, and try and upset one of the biggest players.
Well, true, but I think that if they want Paul Stretford off their backs, they're going to have to get rid of Rooney.
Yeah.
And if he says something like that, it forces Rooney's hand to hand in a transfer request, which waivers a lot of fees and blah, 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 blah.
United are in a difficult position. I'll tell you why, because there's no point, and this is a cliche, but it is absolutely true. There's no point having a player at your club that doesn't want to be there. Right?
No.
So if Wayne Rooney's track record has shown that he really, on balance, probably doesn't want to be there. Now, that's his own decision, probably fueled by his agent as well, but that's his decision to make. Mm-hmm. I personally think a player of Wayne Rooney's ability and age and fitness is not going to go anywhere bigger than United. In fact, arguably, there isn't anywhere bigger than United to go. So he's going to go somewhere like Chelsea, perhaps somewhere like PSG, but they've not really shown much interest. So the point is, it's probably better. I mean, Roy Keane went one step further than this at the weekend. He said they should just let him go. Just send him to Chelsea if you want. Sometimes you've got to lose to win. You know, sometimes you've got to get rid of that bad apple in the bunch. Mm-hmm. And United have got bigger problems. And their bigger problems are the centre midfield position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where they started up with, they lined up with Giggs, Cleverley and Carrick in the middle.
Yep.
They've not really got that many other options aside of Fletcher, who can't stay fit, and Anderson, who's never done it for them because of various different reasons.
I mean, they've got the young Belgian player, 18-year-old.
Yeah, but he plays a bit further forward.
He does, yeah.
But
he's not. He's hardly the finished answer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's not going to improve them in any great level this season, is he?
No.
So the point is, though, what I was just going to go on to finish with, is that United are at a level where they need to sign world-class players, and there's not that many players around.
There isn't.
And the ones they want to get, they can't get, obviously. They can't just go, OK, well, we can't get Fabregas, so we'll get...
Well, when Thiago Alcantara was the first one, I think.
Yeah, but even he isn't necessarily the finished article yet.
No, you're right.
So it's very difficult. They're picking from a very small pool of players.
That's right.
It's
and they're leaving it late.
They are leaving it late.
If I was David Moyes, I've got a team that just won the league. You know, I haven't really lost anyone. I haven't really signed anyone. Why go out there and, you know, spend 25 million on a player that may not perform? And, you know, and then he'll be the guy who, like, spent 25 million in his first, like, couple of months of being there. Why not give it a season? You know, just take stock. If you don't win the league, you don't win the league. This is all about building a bit of a legacy.
I think that's a fair point.
I would echo that because I think that Pete's right. And I think to follow up on that, I would say that Manchester United have hired David Moyes not just for the manager he is, but for the manager he could become.
Absolutely.
And it's a long-term thing, isn't it? And like you say, this season's the
end. He's got a hell of a, you know, a platform to operate upon. And it's the first time that Moyes has had the situation where he's always had to sell players at Everton. He's always,
right.
This is a team where you sort of go, well, if you don't want to play for Manchester United, one of the biggest teams in the world, then go,
Yeah.
I hate to do the first F word of the 2013-2014 season.
Just get it out of the way.
I'm annoyed it wasn't me.
Yeah. I'm surprised it wasn't you.
I like that. Januzaj player, he came on in the Community Shield. He looks decent. I saw him once in pre-season. He looked actually, I know pre-season doesn't mean anything at all, but he looks like a pretty good operator for his age. You'd think he'd be behind Kagawa and Rooney if Rooney stays in the pecking order because he's only just 18 or whatever, but he looks decent. He does look decent.
Yeah, I think what you said is right, Pete, about Moyes. You know, that is a championship winning side that he's inherited. And those United fans, of all the big clubs, of all the demanding big clubs in Europe, you could argue they'd probably be the most patient, especially what Ferguson said before he left and the legacy Ferguson has.
They're hardly starved of success, you know.
Yeah, sure. A season won't hurt, will it, United?
There's no club in the world, right, in a different parallel universe where Alex Ferguson did 25 years or whatever, whatever club it was. It happened to be Manchester United, but it could have been anywhere. There's no club in the world that would survive that unscathed. I mean, you could point to the sort of Shankly-Paisley thing. That's very unlikely to happen.
But in the modern era as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Manchester United may not win anything this season. They may not even win anything next season because it's such a big change, not just with Ferguson, but with sort of at board level and stuff like that as well. They've got to be patient, you're right. And I think they deserve to... Moyes deserves. He's earned the right for that job. He's been groomed for that job. And like I say, he's been hired for the manager he could become and he needs to be given time. I take what Pete says. They've got a good basis. I still think he's a central midfield player. I genuinely do. Because as good as that Januzaj guy looks, he's not going to fucking improve him at that level.
No.
In that position anyway.
Third F word. the club have left the number 7 jersey. Signed.
Careless, isn't it?
Is that Valencia and Zaha going to just fight for it or something?
Rule Fox.
In a car park.
Rouleau.
Yeah. Well, big Kevin Harper used to wear it famously for Portsmouth, so
is that right?
Probably available, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm. But they've only signed one player, Guillermo Varela, a 20-year-old Uruguayan footballer who's hardly played any first-team football. Contrast that to the noisy neighbours, Manchester City, who have signed Fernandinho from Shakhtar for just over $35 million, Jovetic from Fiorentina for nearly $23 million, Jesus Navas for about $15 million, and Negredo for a whopping great three from Sevilla as well.
I think they've done the best business, along with probably with Spurs. I think they've done the best business.
Did it surprise you, the Fernandinho price? Because, I mean, to be honest, this is, you know, perhaps a middle-of-the-road pundit view, but I don't know that much about him. Mm. I mean, obviously, you know he's a decent player. You see bits and pieces in Europe. But $35.2 million for a guy who's not playing much for Brazil, who's been playing in the Ukrainian league.
They signed him for, like, I don't know, like $6 or $7 million or something, Shakhtar.
Yeah.
I've not seen enough of him to
bearing in mind, you know, Jovetic is a very good player, one of the most exciting creative players you could argue in Europe at the moment. Jesus Navas is, we know how good he is playing for Spain, and Sevilla. Negredo as well.
Yeah,
but Fernandinho's price dwarfs all those.
I just like all the players that they've signed this close season. I just think Jack Rodwell. Jack Rodwell.
I think with Fernandinho, I mean...
Scott Sinclair.
Poor Jack Rodwell.
it almost doesn't matter how much they pay for him, does it?
That's true.
It doesn't really matter. And also, I don't know what Fernandinho's contract situation was. So,
true. I'm saying all this. He's probably absolutely brilliant.
I mean, if they get Pellegrini they get Pellegrini in, who I think is a good manager, and I think will do well there. As plenty of people do, they then, when they sign a new manager, they need to back him. And if he's a player that he's identified that he wants, they've got to go and get him. And to Man City, the sad fact of the matter is, you know, modern football and all that, it doesn't matter to them how much he costs.
You could just imagine when Pellegrini turned up and Man City going, here's your war chest. He's just like that blood.
Just opened the big chest and all these players just came up and done it for you.
Yeah. It's good to see Navas. Yeah.
But it's great to see, I tell you, it's great to see in the Premier League. It's great to see Jovetic, it's great to see Navas, great to see Negredo, it's great to see Soldado in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Some good players coming into the Premier League, exciting players. And another team who's done well in the transfer window so far is Cardiff. And we're looking forward to seeing a couple of their players play as well.
Before we move on, Tevez to Juventus. They've got him off the books at last. Maicon to Roma. Wayne Bridge to Reading.
His hair's gone very Vulcan.
Is that right?
I've not seen his hair recently.
I advise caution, Wayne.
I felt sorry for Wayne Bridge a while back, and we may have touched on it last season, but perhaps we didn't. There was a paparazzi photo of Wayne Bridge wearing terrible clothes. Like it's almost like an 18-year-old emo skater clothes.
Yeah.
And then they ran with the story that that's how he dressed.
Right.
But then it turned out it was a fancy dress party. And he's never really been vindicated.
I thought you were going to say he's never been to a fancy dress party.
I've seen pictures of him in a vest in Mothercare. That's not a good look for anybody, I think.
What were you doing in Mothercare?
No, I wasn't following around. I just saw a paparazzi Daily Mail picture.
In Mothercare? There's nothing
in
sacred.
Daily Mail.
Buying clothes for the baby and all that.
But we've lost Maicon from the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, did we really have him?
We almost
how little we knew.
He's bombed on. He's bombed on to.
He's bombed out. Roma.
Roma. Yeah.
I feel like we had a sort of drunken one night stand with Michael, and then we woke in the morning, he was gone. Yeah. That's how I feel about it.
That's true.
That side of the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's nice to see him at Roma. The Roma have had many big Brazilian defenders over the years. So
I think Tevez
is one of the bigger ones.
He's one of the bigger ones.
I mean, Tevez is. I mean, Negredo is. I mean, is he an upgrade on Tevez? Yeah, probably. Maybe not.
An upgrade.
But Tevez, I mean, but Negredo will
deserve
will,
better.
Well, yeah, I didn't hear what you said. Say it again.
An upgrader.
Oh yeah, yeah. See? Keep those coming.
Fourth.
Yeah. But Negredo will not give you all the hassle that Tevez gives you, presumably.
What, off the field?
Yeah,
yeah. On the field.
You never know, though.
Who bloody knows? We're going to find out soon enough because the whole season, all of English football, starts this weekend.
Yeah.
Now, perhaps the biggest transfer saga over the summer has been Gareth Bale's much talked about move to Real Madrid. He hasn't done it yet, but it could have been by the time this comes out. Who knows what's happening there? Pete, should he and his little love heart celebration go to Madrid?
Can't see it, but I'm doing the heart.
Luke's doing it.
Yeah.
Luke's doing it.
Oh, Bale, stick this copyright up your ass. It's the radio. You can't stop me.
It's the internet.
It's the internet radio.
Yeah.
Just get rid, I say.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. You got a good side. You're not going to get you didn't get in the Champions League with him, yeah. So don't worry about it.
You're not going to get in there without him. Is that what you're saying? I love it how.
A defeatist attitude there from Pete Dawson.
Make a buttload of money. Yeah. Make a buttload of money. Just have
sell
a nice
club.
Season. Just have a nice season.
And share it.
Would you make an actual? Would you make an actual boat out of the money?
Well, and stick it on the stick a bar on it and have footballers on there. Because if it happens, I told you. Told you at the start of the show. It's funny, isn't it? Daniel Levy loves do you remember Sense of a World of Soccer? When you could obviously buy and sell players, and when you'd all just, you know, ask for more money and just see what you could do, and then eventually they'd pull out and you'd be like, he plays that game, doesn't he, in real life. But I do find it funny how he's almost like, no, we want 100 million or whatever it is, they need to come up with a massive offer and blah blah blah. But mate, it's the biggest transfer of all time. They've come up with a massive offer.
He's quite injury prone. You know, he could break down at any point. That's good money. If you get over 40 million for him, I'd take it.
I think you're absolutely right. And, well, I mean,
40 million is probably cheap, right?
Yeah, true.
Come on. I mean, I'd say that.
If they offered 60 million,
you'd
think
fair
enough.
Listen to what you just said. That's mental, isn't
it? No, but in the marketplace. In the marketplace, you know. I'd take the sentiment. I think that a slightly more joined up way of looking at it would maybe that it might be difficult for them to reinvest that money if all the other clubs knew they had that money in their back. So I think. Over the course of the summer, I've had quite a lot of opinions on this Gareth Bale thing, and now I've sort of got bored of it. I can't really remember.
But didn't he want it all in £20 notes or something? Yeah. It's just ridiculous.
I think what would be good for Spurs, if Bale did indeed decide he wanted to go, and it's not Jonathan Barnett chipping off, and Bale actually has got a long-held ambition to go to Real Madrid, which has been reported. I mean, he may go next summer, perhaps, right? But I think what it would be important for Spurs to do would be to get players in exchange for that.
Yeah.
So, because then you've got the problem of being able to reinvest that money. Like when Man City and Chelsea came on the scene the first time, everyone was just stiffing them for loads of cash. Obviously, Levy's got a reputation for being quite a hard negotiator at Spurs. He would find it hard to negotiate for two reasons. One, because everyone would know he had that money. And secondly, because they're not in the Champions League. So, which would then put a premium on the players' wages for them to take a season out of the top sort of echelon of football. If they could get, perhaps, there's been talk of Contrell,
really,
of Di Maria, of Morata, all those players would improve Spurs, I think.
Ronaldo.
But I mean, if they could tease just one more season out of Bale, I think with Soldado in there as well, I think there's a real opportunity for Spurs this season. I'm not going to say title, but all the other stuff, all the other upheaval. I can see Spurs getting third this season. Well, genuinely can.
But maybe taking the money and then maybe loaning it back to Spurs for a season or something like that. Some mental deal like that.
That's not
going to
happen.
I understand what you're saying. You know, Soldado's a great signing. Paulinho as well. And a couple of others. And if from Spurs' point of view, you would be like, come on, Bale, stay. We could really do something. But as you say, they could finish third. Or he could play for Real Madrid.
Yeah. Well, not only that, I think they could have said that to him last season. I think there could have been a chance for him to go last season, and they said, stay.
But
the stories would be so different if he wanted to move to Manchester United. The newspapers would all be reporting, he's got to go. Because he's gone to Real Madrid, which is, you know, probably in the top three clubs in the world, It's just like, it's just this kind of like English-centric sort of thing. Oh, he wants to go to Real Madrid. I can't believe he's doing this to Spurs. It's like, you know.
But is the money... I know what you're saying, but is the money, when it comes to Bale, from Spurs' point of view, is the money actually worth having?
Because if you can't invest it correctly? They've already spent enough money this close season, really, haven't they? They've already put their hands in their pockets.
I think they've broken their transfer record twice this summer. So, I mean, they've made good signings, Spurs. I think them and City have done, and them along with Cardiff and Norwich, actually, those four teams have done well.
Well, they nearly...
Spurs are a lot better prospect than they were this time last season.
Indeed. They nearly had another signing in Vlad Kuriches, the Steaua player. But,
Churiches, isn't it?
Churiches, sorry.
Yeah, it's a bit of a funny one.
It is a funny one. But it was his transfer to Spurs was halted by Gigi Becali.
From prison.
He's already chipping off from prison, as Jim predicted.
He gets one phone call a week.
Exactly. And that was it, to call the manager. Yeah. Don't you even think.
You think I can't get you from in here? I think that might be the reason they've signed Etienne Capoue from Toulouse, who can also play centre-back. So that'd be a bit of colour, because I know on paper they're reasonably strong. At Spurs, although they've sold Kolka, they've got Vertonghen, Cabal and Dawson. And I know Cabal's spent a lot of time injured, but with Capoue in there as well, that's your four centre-backs, really, presuming all of them stay fit. So they may not even... I don't know. I've got no insight into it, but they may not be going for the still a Bucharest player now, because they...
Well, Gigi Becali's got involved. You steer clear
money talks, doesn't it?
Steer clear. Yeah. Clint Dempsey's been sold for I think it was $6 million to the Seattle Sounders.
That's one of the biggest transfers, certainly
in MLS history.
Well,
surely.
Certainly in MLS history, but like you know, it's kind of gone under the radar a little bit. It's kind of like that's about as big as Beckham for me. You know, reputation, quality wise, certainly.
And he's native to the land and all that.
It'd be big for them, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, Beckham's obviously at another level, but for American football fans to see a player come. Arguably, who could still have a year or two of his best years in the MLS? That's great.
I mean, and
Beckham was very young, wasn't he? How old was Beckham? Like for
what he
yeah, Beckham was 31, I think,
and for how long he stuck around for.
Yeah, okay.
But I think with him, it excites me because it's kind of like they reckon he's going to be fresh for the World Cup. He'll be loaned back to somebody. They'll be loaned back to a Champions League club, I reckon.
You reckon?
Like this time, like in January or whatever.
Like the loans across to the UK for Landon Donovan and stuff to Everton.
Yeah, I think that'll happen just to get him fresh. But it's just ridiculous.
You'd think he'd have other offers. Maybe he wanted to go back there. You know, yeah, obviously he did. But
it's a lot of money. He's probably getting paid an absolute king's ransom. But there was noises that he was complaining about not getting played enough. It's like Dembele played about as much as he did.
Dembele's a lot younger though.
Yeah, but I mean, but it's just weird that like you don't hear him complain. You don't hear him.
True. There's talk of loads more business happening at Spurs. I mean, because you've got there's talk of Sigurdsson may go, and then obviously they've got the Franco Baldini link with Roma, because he's now director of football at Spurs. There's talk of Pjanic or Lamela, or that's all those sort of players perhaps moving across to the Premier League and to Spurs. I genuinely think AVB senses a chance this year for Spurs.
Yeah. Given,
I mean, Man City and Chelsea are going to be strong.
Well, that must be the reason.
But they know they've got a chance. They know they've got a chance to do something. Mm. And by that, I mean a top three finish. And I think they're right to go for it. I mean.
What about Liverpool? The other massively talked about potential transfer of the summer is obviously Suarez to Arsenal, but they've still got him. But they've made some all right signings, have they not? Mignolet, decent keeper from Sunderland.
Yeah, good keeper.
Carlo Torre on a free from Man City. I thought that wasn't a bad bit of business.
Good experience.
I know. The midfielder are going to be like, where's the massive Carragher lofted balls come from? Why is everything being played on the floor? Why isn't he just smashing it out of play?
Yeah, he didn't
all
want to. It was Rogers. Rogers retired Carragher.
Have you heard his Daily Mail radio ad?
Obviously
he
not.
Goes in too high. He goes in too high. He goes, I'm Jamie Carragher! And then he calms down by the end of the set. I'm Jamie Carragher!
I thought you meant Brendan Rodgers' one.
No, God.
Brendan, imagine. Are we on? Okay.
Yeah. Good. That's it. That's your one.
Okay.
Yeah. That's your two.
they've made some decent signings. Stuart Dowling's been sold. But
that definitely happened?
Well, it looks like it.
I saw a funny tweet about that, because obviously they signed Andy Carroll and Stuart Dowling.
Oh, yeah.
Someone tweeted and said, it's difficult to wonder how West Ham are going to line up this season.
Yeah, but I did think about that, actually, and people can be a little bit snooty. What's wrong with a person who can deliver a ball and someone can head in?
Crosses in, big nod down.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. Well, nothing, I suppose.
What do you mean, you suppose? Yeah. That's fair enough.
No, you can think of the paying members of public, that's what I'm saying.
What's wrong with a cross and a headed goal? You loved it when Tahiti did it.
West Ham.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
West Ham fans are never happy, whatever happens. Yeah.
I loved it when Pompey did it against Accrington Stanley at the weekend as well. I have to confess.
Yeah, that was a masterclass of defending, wasn't it? I watched that match.
Yeah.
Dog pops.
My goodness. We talked a bit about Spurs there. Arsenal, again, another contrast. They've only bought in one player. Sonogo from Auxerre. Tried to bring in Higuain and Lars Bender, failed there. They're looking at Luis Gustavo.
Yeah, that looks to me. I think that's going to happen.
That would be a good player for them, a defensive midfielder.
See, that makes sense for him because he's a good player, played at a very top level.
Yeah.
Obviously, international experience as well. Will improve them, but he's not getting games ahead of Martinez and Schweinsteiger.
Yeah, be hungry.
So he'll want to move. I think that works well for Arsenal. I think that could actually happen.
They need bodies because they've shipped so many out.
Oh, they have, God.
If you look at some of the names, they've sold Jovinho, Manone, Andrew Santos, Andrea Sharvin, Danielson, Sebastian Squarchi, and then out on loan is Joel Campbell, Francis Coquelin, and Johan Dura. And it's kind of like, look at all those players. He's fairly recently
signed. Look at all that forehead.
It is a bit like Arsenal. You're noticing something here. You know?
Yeah.
Get someone good.
Yeah.
Just bloody do it.
I thought they may have got Higuain.
Oh, Higuain would have been great for them.
Yeah, but Suarez, they seem to be pretty committed to this Suarez thing. But I'm not sure that's going to happen now. Suarez seems to have refused the option to sort of really protest about this move at the moment, at the time of recording.
Mm.
So they may not get him. But I think what's happened is, I reading between the lines a little bit, is that Suarez, I think, thought he was going to go to Madrid.
Well, that's
I think that's why he started getting a bit sort of shifty feet about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he realised, with the greatest respect to Arsenal fans, that he realised the only option was Arsenal.
And it's a bit nearer.
Yeah, there it is. Certainly
is. You hear us, Jim? You hear us?
Yeah. Yeah. But obviously, presuming they get past Fenerbahce, they're a Champions League club. So, I mean, it makes sort of sense. But I think he might not be that bothered about going there, personally.
Fenerbahce is a tricky tie.
Of course it is, yeah.
Tricky.
Dirk Cow plays for him. He could murk Arsenal.
Yeah, very tricky. What about Chelsea? Brought in André Schürrle. That's a good signing.
Yeah.
Marco van Hinkel. And Mark Schwartz are on a free.
Yeah.
From Fulham, amongst other signings. But they're the three that... caught my pen. but it's a funny one for Schwartz, who played a whole season for Fulham. He's turned 40 and the old's like, that's it.
Yeah.
Off you go.
Mm. Fair dues.
Well, they signed Stekelenburg, haven't they?
They have, yeah.
He on this day is a great keeper.
Which is a good signing. Before we whiz around the rest of the league, Cardiff City, as you said earlier, Luke, have made a couple of big signings. Corker from Spurs. Andreas Cornelius.
It's a good name.
Just for the name, you'd pay big money from Copenhagen. And Chilean international Gary Medel from Sevilla.
I'm delighted with Medel.
A transfer record for Cardiff.
Medel will be such entertainment.
He will be. The comparisons with Reno Gattuso in the past. He's over 50 caps for Chile.
There's loads of like reappropriated Chuck Norris facts for Medel. Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
I printed one out. Luke James says, fear of spiders is arachnophobia. Fear of tight spaces is claustrophobia. Fear of Gary Medel. Is called logic.
Nice. Remember, he was the one who had that sending off. I think it might have been last season. Certainly a while back, when he kicked that chair and hit the water bottle in that guy's face.
Yeah.
He absolutely loves it in Medel. He'd be great,
Cardiff will love him.
Yeah.
Love him in there.
That Cornelius guy's got an ankle injury. He may not even start.
No,
it's a bit really?
Depressing.
But I think Medel's thought, I quite fancy moving to the Premier League. They let a lot of stuff go there, the referee. That's what he's thinking.
They're all worrying about the goal going in.
Yeah.
The goal line technology.
Yeah.
The mouth punchy technology.
I can imagine in one of Cardiff's games, there's a goal. It's over the line, but not given, or it is given, or whatever, against Cardiff. And Medel just tearing it off the crossbar, just stamping on it, chucking it in the crowd. And going, right, play on.
Yeah. It's a goal now.
Yeah.
I was stamping on that little watch the referee's got.
Yeah. Damn well, it's still on his wrist.
Not a goal.
Other interesting deals in the Premier League over the summer. Perhaps the club that's done my favourite bit of business is West Brom.
Lugano's next.
Diego Lugano. Yeah. He's a beautiful boy, and he'll get stuck in on a free.
Nicolas Anelka as well.
Nicolas Anelka. I love that, how Drogba's made his way back to Europe. He's playing, obviously, in Champions League. Nicolas Anelka's gone sod this. Yakubu, is he coming back?
No way! can't find him. You can imagine him on the phone to Anelka. What are you doing? What? Why?
Why are we eating meat pie this early?
Yeah.
Why are you going to training? I do a 1.5 day week here. Matteo Vidra.
Oh, really, Yakubu? Is the season on the moment? I don't know.
Vidra looks set to join them on a season-long loan from Watford too.
Have you seen how many goals they've scored in pre-season? They've scored like they've kept on going since the Man United match. They've scored like a ridiculous amount. And Elk's got a hat trick in his last match.
It's sort of like the thing when you do a Championship manager season, you go, I've got this, Elk. First few league games, you lose every single one.
That's right. And they're looking at Scott Sinclair from Man City. Yeah.
Well, that would make sense because he would play the same sort of football that Clark enjoys to play.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was going to say, I was thinking Lugano and Anelka's great freshening up of the squad, but I mean, between them, they're about 66 years old.
Yeah,
so it won't be that fresh, but it will be blood, especially when Lugano's involved. But international captain, you know.
Absolutely.
Captain of the team to what Copa is it, third
America.
Or fourth place in the World Cup.
And the Copa America.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Sunderland brought in Jose Altidore.
Yep.
Vito Menone after selling Mignolet. And perhaps the best bit of business, dare I say, is Emanuele Giaccherini from Juventus for £6.5 million.
Spent really well.
Oh, he's a fantastic. Where did that come from?
He
scored in the Confederations Cup, damn it all.
They tried to sign Lorenzo Insigne as well.
Did they?
The young Italian forward. Mm. Yeah. They didn't get him, but I mean, obviously, Giaccherini's just pumping the contacts.
Oh, yes.
Isn't he?
Hopefully not literally, but, but that's a brilliant signing, is he not? Italian international player for Juventus.
Can you not
wing back, is he?
But can you not see that potentially going a bit wrong and him not settling in Sunderland?
Well, you've brought me thundering back down.
I'll just say as a potential to go a bit wrong. But we hope not.
Let the North East and myself dream. Mm. Speaking of North East dreaming, they brought in Loic Remy, Newcastle United.
They have,
Kinnear's acted fast.
Well, Kinnear's in since last time. We've got Kinnear in.
Joking.
Strong bass. Almost had Mick Harford.
Yeah.
He didn't fancy it.
He literally turned you down.
Yeah.
I'm fine as I am.
Think, right, what's our threadbare squad need? Well, let's get rid of James Perch, the most versatile footballer we have, and let's bring in Loic Remory, who may very well get put in prison soon.
Are you sure, Mick? Because you might get put in prison.
Is that legally dubious? I don't know.
Allegedly.
You are assistant manager at Millwall, Mick. Are you sure you don't want to come to Newcastle? No. Fine. No.
Do you like living in London? Not really. What is it then?
I don't want to say.
Kenny Jackett's great company.
Yeah, yeah. He's gone, Jackett.
Oh, of course, he's Wolves. He's Wolves. Forgive me.
He's jacketed in it.
Ask me a question about the Ashes. what about Hull City?
No, can I just say, Newcastle, Pete, you're not a little bit concerned they haven't got another keeper? Because Tim Krul missed a few games last season, and they haven't got any real subkeeper of any experience.
Elliot's all right. He'll be all right.
Don't worry about it.
But that's not a real worry. It's just kind of we've got no one up front. The pre-season's pre-season, we've just looked completely abject. The same as last season. We'll probably lose a couple of midfielders by the end of it. And Tioti looks as bad as he's ever been.
Don't worry, Joe. Really. Kinnear's on it.
Kinnear's on it.
Tioti had a good season when he started.
Yeah. 3 years ago.
You're right, mate. You're right. Do you want a minute?
So I'm with Steve Harper.
Marcus, I think he wants a minute.
I think we should talk about Hull City because they've captured Steve Harper.
Yeah. Have you seen Steve Harper's testimony? It's amazing.
No.
Brazy Maldini.
What?
It's ridiculous. How are you talking about Cole? Yeah, he's actually his testimonial is happening.
They think he was Shay Given.
Carlton Cole.
I can't believe it. Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
In his rightful home.
Baresi versus Shearer.
That is Baresing. Sort of amazing, sort of mashup. Didn't really work.
Yeah. The whole city of
Alan McGregor, haven't they?
And they've got Alan McGregor, two goalkeepers. They can't play them at the same time.
No.
Someone should stay. Yeah, we're not in net.
No.
No, there's only one set, one set of gloves. Ooh, they're going to be called the Hull City Tigers, though, in a bid to strengthen their identity, according to owner Asim.
That's funny, because I think that does the opposite.
Well, it totally does in the local community. His dislike for the word city is the reason for this, because he says it's common. He says, I want the club to be special. It's about identity. City is a lousy identity. Hull City Association Football Club is so long.
Yeah.
Get this. So he says, I've always used shorter names in business. And I've found one of his products he sells as a manufacturer of marine generators. Yeah. The petrol alarm generator 3KVA.GX240HHP. That shit's catchy.
Is that short in that arena?
Yes.
And in his words, not ours, the shorter, the more powerful the message.
Yeah.
He did save the club from administration, etc., etc.
He seems to be quite a good egg, to be fair.
He does, actually.
He does invest in, he's quite altruistic.
I don't know any experience of any eggs doing well when running football clubs.
That's true. He is an egg as well. He's got no hair.
Oh, yeah, nosy leg.
It is a poor decision, but the Tigers it is.
Yeah.
That's all you needed to say. Read the story. Poor decision. Move on.
Two SBL stars from last season have come down south. Gary Hooper to Norwich City and Victor Wanyama to Southampton, the latter for £12.5 million.
It's a good signing, I think. Wanyama's a good signing.
Hooper to Norwich as well.
Yeah, he spurned QPR, didn't he?
Yeah.
Redknapp chipped off saying he's got him. And
your name's Hooper with the hoops.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in Norwich.
Yeah,
Premier League. Get on with it.
And the last one that I think I'll give a mench is Adel Tarat to Fulham on a season's loan, linking up with the Berbatov.
That's another Berbatov for me.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, the relegation fears grow, but the champagne football flows.
When you've got the ball, you're fine.
Crack out the advent calendars.
Defend from the front.
Yeah, Martin Yell's team talk for the first game of the season is going to be, do not fucking lose the ball. If you do, we are fucked.
Oh, but they've got, what's his name from Bilbao? Amor Brete. That's what they've got him for, to take care of that.
Yeah.
He does the work of three men.
Yeah. He'll need to do the work of three men.
There'll be a lot of fouls if they lose the ball.
Yeah.
He will chop and hack and get that ball back. There you go. And put it on a plate for them.
Yeah. They'll have their gloves on by now.
Yeah.
They will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Of course they will.
I think I'd love there to be a clash of personalities with Tarat and Berbatov.
Yeah. Who would love it? Yeah, it's inevitable.
Did you steal my fags?
Yeah. Were you smoking on the pitch?
Yeah.
But the Premier League will be the first domestic competition to adopt goal line technology starting this season.
Mm.
Yeah, a text message saying goal will be sent to the referees when the referees watch. Quite like that.
I like to think they got a text message and then they got like a PPI text message afterwards. Goal! Were you sold PPI, by the way?
Was that a goal? No, it wasn't a goal. After the game, I used up my data.
Yeah.
It's just come through now.
It looks like one of those Nintendo Game & Watches things.
Yeah, it does.
Double Dragon.
Yeah. Goal decision system is what the
system is. Was there not a fact that the referees were asked to make like 90-odd goal line technology? Sorry, goal line decision last year?
31.
Was it like they got 90% of them right or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's they only got three of them wrong out of 30.
It's fine, isn't it? Fine. Because if a referee is making...
But that's a hell of a lot more than I thought.
Yeah, but if a referee is making decisions right, given that he's a human being, if he's making decisions right 90% of the time... So in your life, if you made the right decision 90% of the time, you'd be happy with that.
Yeah, but then somebody points at the orphanage on fire and goes, mate...
It's always the one. There's always one.
That was the bad decision you made.
Play the numbers.
Yeah.
Burn the children.
No, Pete.
What?
That cannot be the name of the show as well.
I was thinking of it as soon as it
came out. I was.
The championship has begun. Yeah. The most exciting league in the world. Watford, Blackpool and Nottingham Forest are the early pace setters. Yeovil Town got off to a flyer, winning 1-0 away at Millwall. They did lose 1-0 at home to Birmingham, well, which Watford is shame, though.
Watford looked magnificent against Bournemouth.
6-1.
It's been a big wake-up call for Bournemouth. I mean, but Watford seemed to have put that disappointment of last season behind them.
I think
Deeney hat-trick, 6-1 win, brilliant.
I just think Troy Deeney having a pre-season instead of a pre-season... Prison.
Yeah, prison. That's right. It works.
Better for him. Mm-hmm.
Back on track. I did want to talk a little bit about Yeovil Town. It is incredible that they are in the Champions. The stadium doesn't quite hold 10,000, and I think just over half of that is seated. And they're playing a league below Manchester United and Chelsea. Yeah, it's glorious, isn't it? The romance of England football.
My initial reactions staying in the Championship on the QPR tip, my initial reactions to Steve McLaren going there is... What is there left for Redknapp to do? Apart from like interviews on Sky Sports, going on telly shows. Does he actually do anything?
Yeah, that is true.
Because I remember...
He's still there.
I remember a journalist saying to me, when he was at Portsmouth, Redknapp, and it was when Portsmouth were doing quite well before it all went, you know, tits up. And he said to me as a little joke, oh, you know, he's doing well, but Redknapp doesn't actually really do anything.
Doesn't take training, does he?
He eats like an... He said...
He has the meat pie.
Honestly, I promise you, he said he was watching a training session and Jordan and Bond were doing the training.
Yeah.
And Redknapp walked over about 20 minutes after they started eating a fried egg sandwich, like a fried egg bap, ate it, said something quickly to Bond and walked off again. And since then, have he's got more
any,
coaches.
Have you got any brown sauce?
He probably went to him. Is the brown sauce still in your office? Cheers. Have you got the key? Cheers. And that's it. And he's got more personnel since then.
Yeah. He's up there with Bobby Robson, though. Up there with Sir Bob. Should have managed Team GB. Anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah. So, we mentioned Wigan. Good start for them. So the Championship, we're off and running. It's great to see. And we'll be going
not
back.
Not great enough to see for us to start the ramble on time for the new season. But
I'm not enjoying the what Sky are calling it.
FL72.
FL72.
Oh dear.
Oh, it sounds like a train, a model of a train. Or
sounds
something.
Like a vaccination.
What about BT Sport?
Watched a single note.
The new football rambles competitors. But League One
again. Oh. Phone did no ring. New station launching. About football, you say? Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah. 606.
Not a dicky bird.
With who?
Not a dicky bird.
I actually got a call.
Yeah. I bet you did.
Is that Luke Moore still
everywhere.
With you?
Yeah. You're everywhere. Okay. Yeah.
Hence, I'm not on there.
No.
Yeah. I'm only joking, of course. Let's go to League One. Coventry City have been given a lot of media attention throughout the summer for unwanted reasons.
Yeah.
They've been deducted 10 points after the club fell into administration and faced liquidation. I mean, they're in real trouble. They've had to change their home stadium to Northampton Town's ground shoot, which is 34 miles away from Coventry because of a row over the amount of rent the club has been ordered to pay at the Rico Arena, and the fans are up in arms, as you could imagine.
Yeah, I've obviously got a lot of sympathy for them as someone who supports a club who've gone through similar, and it's not really that nice. It's very uncertain, and I think the Football League, as usual, I mean, I'm tired of saying it, to be honest, the Football Association have really let them down at every stage.
I really like that area as well. I love Coventry, I love Leicester, I love Nottingham. It's just like...
You went to uni around there, didn't you?
Went to uni in Leicester, but I've got friends in Coventry, and it's just... There's not a lot going on apart from, you know...
Yeah.
Apart from the football team. It's so sad to see them leave. They did smash five goals past there. Were they playing?
Yeah, they won 5-4, didn't they?
I think it all started to go wrong for them as soon as they agreed to allow the enemy to play the the Rico Arena.
That is true, yeah.
So maybe there's some blame to be laid at their door. Yeah.
When they let Steve Agrusovich go for me. Yeah.
I will reiterate, there's not a lot else going on. No. If your biggest band is, you know, in the noughties, is the enemy, you've got problems, really.
I think it is really, I mean, especially sad that they can't
That's
play.
It's a bitchy around. Comment.
They what do you mean?
Yeah. You're from fucking Hartlepool.
They had the specials and shit like that.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah. Not in the noughties, though.
Anyway, the semi-serious points of the mate was the real kicker for Coventry fans is they don't even get to play in their own stadium. At least when it all went completely wrong for Pompey, you could still go to Fratton Park, watch them play. They were dreadful, and it was really uncertain time, but you got to go to the actual place, and everyone could
it wasn't that far from your house.
Take solace from that.
It was 34 miles away from Coventry.
Well, they all sort of turned up at the match that they won 5-4, out, and they sat on a hill and watched the match from a hill with all the bedsheets protesting, and they just went crazy when the guys went in.
That is quite good, I have to say. That is quite good. Leighton Orient straight out of the traps in League 1, scoring 8 so far on the top, so well done to them. Let's go to League 2.
They've bought Johnny Gorman from Wolves, the winger.
Have they?
He looks like a pretty doll. Have you seen him?
I haven't seen him. Give him a Google.
A pretty doll.
I'll give him a Google if he's that pretty.
The sound of that. League 2, great start for Newport County in the Football League, with a 4-1 win against Accrington Stanley at home. They also beat Brighton away in the League Cup.
It's an excellent
result. Welsh side doing well again. They did lose their second game, but still, Portsmouth haven't started so well. They're only 1 point in their opening two games.
Yeah, first game at home to Oxford United was training ground stuff, really. I mean, people sort of got a bit carried away that now it's owned by the fans. I mean, all their dreams will come true. But in actual fact, those players haven't had an awful lot of time together.
No.
And, you know, you obviously need to do business on the pitch as well. The goals they conceded against Oxford were, like I say, for me, they look to be goals that you would concede because you haven't spent that much time together.
Yeah.
So I'm not too worried about that. The Accrington game was a joke. I mean, that...
The defending was particularly...
They had Lev Yashin in goal. He made about 5 world-class saves. It was ridiculous. And then they scored a real fluky one from miles out. And they lost a bit of concentration. But I think, actually, it'll even itself out. I don't know. Portsmouth are really short price favourites for the league this season. Mm. I think that's wrong. But I think they should be around the playoffs from what I've seen. I think they'll be okay.
Lovely mention of Lev Yashin.
You know, one thing I would like, actually, as a Pompey fan, and other Pompey fans may not agree with me, a nice state. Yeah, well, that'd be nice.
A nice steak pie.
A Balti pie. They do a chicken Balti pie down there, don't they not?
Yeah. Go on. Anymore?
God, he's got a serious point.
It
might be the only one of the whole show.
It's not even really a serious point. I'm just going to say it'd be nice to have like a season of stability. Just actually play a team.
Oh, stability
the same
nowadays.
Team every week and just win a few and finish mid-table. I wouldn't mind that.
I refer you to the pies. And Hartlepool, they've started the worst out of all the teams in Hartlepool with no points from their opening two games, Pete.
So shove that in your pipe,
Dawson. I think 1953. They lost every match when the match factory burnt down. That's a true story. So there you go.
There you go. You see,
Hartlepool are rich and varied.
Hard.
It seems to me that they need strikers. There's not a lot of strikers in the North East, apart from Sunderland, have got a couple. They just need to share the wealth,
yeah,
frankly.
Yeah, that's true.
Middlesbrough need some, Newcastle need some.
Just ring up.
Hang on a minute. Yeah, the load of Amiobis. Share them around.
Just ring up. I'll tell you, that's a striker.
That was the thing. When I was thinking about starting the ramble today and maybe looking at some football, what might have happened over the summer, and the transfers and that, which I didn't, I just looked at Sammy Amiobi's Instagram, because now Instagram does video.
Okay.
So there's just loads of him filming his teammates dancing around, doing a bit of kayaking, doing a bit of... table tennis, stuff like that.
And that's the real research.
Yeah.
That goes into the
real research. He's just such a sweet guy. Yeah. Check him out.
Can I? Yeah. I shall.
Yeah.
It's SPL time.
Oh, now, you're going to say France. That's why I said yes.
Well, give it in a minute.
Yeah.
In a minute, because we've got to go to the second most important news story of the whole of the running order. Mm. It is, of course, been a seriously trying time for the magnificent Gorgie boys, otherwise known as Hearts. Yeah, what we're going on in administration, 15-point deduction. But there's nothing like a derby win against the Hibs. They can get the Jambos dreaming again.
Salve to the wound.
1-0 in the first Edinburgh derby of the season.
What a season opener that is.
I tell you what.
Yeah.
No, that's the second game.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, second, yeah. But Inverness Cali, Butcher's men have started well, carrying on from their good season last year. And Aberdeen, with Derek McInnes, carrying on the good work of Craig Brown. Yeah,
I don't know if Aberdeen are going to be that bad this season.
I think... Well, who do you fancy for the title? I mean, bearing in mind Hearts have got a 15-point deduction.
I'm going to say Celtic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Celtic, yeah. Well, I'm going Aberdeen. Pete?
I go Celtic as well. Thank you very much.
Bloody let me. Well,
judge us by our results at the end of the season.
Yeah, fair enough. Right, it's now time to go to the section which I've called Rest of Europe's Transfer Activity.
What's it entail?
That's catchy. Let's call them Hull.
Is that, yeah.
Or as I call it, Retta. We're going to France.
When they're terrorists. Or freedom fighters.
That's ETA.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know which side you look on that one. Yeah.
Thanks very much.
All right.
France, PSG. PSG, the team from Paris, bought Edison Cavani for £56.6 million. Yeah. Marquinhos from Roma, £27.6 million. Big business. They have a front six, which their former sporting director, Leonardo, said is the best front six in the world. Cavani, Zlatan, Lavezzi, Lucas, Moira. That's one player, sorry. Yeah. Pastore and Menez.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that, really.
It really is. But elsewhere in France, Monaco have had quite the summer haul bringing
in. Haven't Monaco spent the most of any team?
I think so, yeah. Radamel Falcao for just over 50 million.
Who did a Kanu? Apparently he might be 29 and not 27.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Right. It's a little bit more realistic than Kanu.
Lovely old job.
Yeah. He's got his money.
So hard to do nowadays.
No wonder they took that transfer. Everyone's looking, Atletico Madrid to Monaco. Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah. James Rodriguez, Colombian teammate of Falcao.
Yeah, James Rodriguez.
Or James to his friends, yeah.
Call him James, why not?
Hey, no. Big JR. He's a teammate of Falcao at Colombia, and they've linked up very well for the national side. So.
Colombia are a bloody third in the world.
They are.
In FIFA World Rankings.
Oi, and I tell you what, this World Cup, I reckon the Birdman's going to be back, because Colombia will be there.
Yeah.
They're second behind Argentina, aren't they? So they'll definitely qualify.
The Birdman's like the Phantom. It gets passed down.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. That's great stuff. And also Moutinho for $22 million from Porto. I mean, Monaco, blimey.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at what sort of French football experts are saying, present company excluded, of course.
Frexperts.
It looks to be a two-horse race between PSG and Monaco, which is incredible given that Monaco got promoted.
Louis Nicolin of Montpellier didn't say quite the same
thing. No, he wouldn't do.
It's just sort of homophobic slurs, racial stuff. Yeah. That's what he sort of said, spouted off.
Allegedly.
Another club in the continent of Europe that has done quite a bit of business is Napoli in Italy, splashing the cash. Certainly in Serie A, there are obviously money problems. And
They must be just spending the Cavani money, right?
Yeah, but smaller finances in Serie A, as everybody knows in the last few years, has perhaps been a factor, but not with Napoli, with that whopping fee they got for Cavani. Higuain.
They've got Champions League money as well, haven't they?
Yeah, Raul Albiol and Jose Callejon from Madrid. And Pepe Reina is in on loan.
Mm.
A lot of Spanish-speaking people for Benitez to natter away to.
Yeah, Benitez's last sort of sojourn to Italy didn't go quite so well. So
could they be a crafty outside bet for Champions League glory?
Don't know what odds they are, but I mean, you know. Yeah, got a good team.
Eh?
Benitez knows how to win that trophy, doesn't he? As we've all seen.
The tipster.
Yeah. you can have your Marcus spend a pound on that this week.
I'll have a pound on Napoli, Champions League.
I love it. Yeah. Ooh, the tipster. And then it turns out they're their favourites.
Yeah. Napoli with the Champions League certainly aren't favourites. I'll say that. No. The other story from Italy that I did quite like to hear was Inter captain Javier Zanetti. He's turned 14. He's going to continue to play. Incredible.
It's kind of a pity that he's busted his Achilles, hasn't he?
And like, he did do
and
that,
then,
yeah.
And, then,
yeah,
and then, that was in April. I don't think that's fixed yet.
Do you think?
So he's not fit, and also they finished really low down the table.
We've had no confirmation that actually a player of Zanetti's quality actually needs an Achilles. So have a think about that before you judge him, all right?
Do you think he's been talking to his mate saying, what's the average age of retirement? They're going, it's about 65. But he doesn't realise that.
I also think he got some of his perfectly coiffed hair and grafted that onto his Achilles. So what are you worried about? I'm ready,
I'm
fit.
That's right. In Spain, it's all been centres around Barcelona, you could argue, because Neymar's gone there, which is massive news, and Tita Villanova's obviously health problems means that he's no longer managed there. But Gerardo Martino from Argentina gets his first coaching job in Europe.
Yeah.
Hasn't managed anyone massive. His biggest job's in Newell's Old Boys, where he won the league, and the Paraguayan national team.
Yeah, Paraguay quite functional at the World Cup when
they were very good.
They did okay, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, they only beat 1-0 off Spain and missed a penalty in that game.
Yeah,
got a good under 20s.
Have they?
Strong backbone.
They are. So Uruguay, actually. So it'll be very interesting to see what he does. But Spain hasn't started yet. David Villa going to Atletico Madrid.
We should do Spain and Germany next week because it's not even started yet.
Yeah, that's true. Anything
could happen.
Germany started, and we have to say that, okay, Pep Guardiola, that's all fine and dandy, but the big news is that Sydney Sam.
Oh, I forgot they have started Germany.
Sydney Sam has opened his account already.
Sydney Sam.
By Leverkusen, 1-3-1. And he earned his first international appearance for Germany over the summer. So there you go.
Man, there you go.
We've had some reports of some bad defending around here. FBI agent Sydney Sam. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know, and I'm listening about it. Now, what's been going on outside of Europe, in North America? The New York Cosmos have played their first competitive match in flipping ages. They've won it as well. In Brazil, Atletico Mineiro won the Copa Libertadores, with Ronaldinho becoming only one of seven players to have won the Champions League as well as South America's top prize. The others have been Cafu, Dida, Carlos Tevez, Walter Samuel, Roque Jr., Pablo Sorin.
Juan Pablo Sorin.
Well done, Ronaldinho.
That's a good lineup of players, that.
He's got a lovely free
kick. Rocker Jr. aside.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it was lovely to see Ronaldinho going, yeah, you all thought I was finished, so up yours. Mm. What else? There's something going on. Oh, Nigeria! There's been some spectacular match fixing in Nigeria.
Is this going to be another example of late match? If you're going to fix matches, do it early.
I said it last season. If you're going to fix a match, I'm not with you. But if I was going to do it, I wouldn't do this.
Let me set the scene. Elizabeth, this is the most important thing that's on the running order. Two teams, Plateau United Feeders.
Good. Yeah. Good name.
Are they really going to sort Plateau? They're sort of consistent, at least. And Police Machine.
Police Machine's a great name for a team.
You'd expect them to be a little bit more honest, perhaps. they were going for promotion to Nigeria's lowest professional league. I think it's League Three. And this is decided in an amateur tournament, of course. Both sides had identical results going into their last matches. They both won their opening games 2-0. They drew 0-0 with each other. This meant it would be a case of which team could score the most goals in their final match.
Mm.
Police Machine. I mean, they set the bar high. They won their game 67-0.
Oh, Police
just,
Machine.
Sorry, can I have a quick word? It's probably nothing. It's probably nothing, but just in the interest of good practice, can I have a quick word just over there for a second? Yeah? That's what I'd be saying.
Oi,
yeah.
But it wasn't.
Who got your goals?
It wasn't enough.
Hang on, Police Machine.
As the goals go in, bam, bam, ow, bam.
It wasn't enough because Feeders stuffed 79 past their opponents with no reply. 67-0 and 79-0. Suspicions were aroused.
The political correct has gone mad.
Can you imagine winning 67-0 and being beaten on goal difference? It's glorious.
Don't leave it late in the season.
But let me dissect it a little bit more.
I can imagine them winning 67-0 and say, do you want to wait around for their game? No point. Let's go to the pub. Straight to the pub. After a few beers, they've done what?
Oh no. Well, apparently Feeders were only 7-0 up at half time. 72 of the goals came in the second half.
That is almost 2 a minute.
Police Machine was 6-0 up at half time and scored a more modest 61 in the second half. But I love that, they must have been in contact. They're 7-0 up, they're 6-0 up. We both know what's going on here. Right.
Are the games playing at the same time?
Must have been.
Oh, that's quality. That's even better.
The Nigerian Football Federation.
Sounds like I couldn't do that by myself on a pitch. Sounds exhausting.
You couldn't even do it on like a computer game.
I couldn't run from the centre circle to the goal. I couldn't do that many times.
It's a goal every 40 seconds.
What I think is the funniest about this is, in your head, think of what the other team are doing while this is happening. They must literally just be standing there. Would that not be the longest 45 minutes of your life? My family have turned up. They're watching. Go on, Luke. You got it. Shut up.
Guys, go on, Dad.
Go on, Dad. Shall I go get you a meat pie? Yeah, go and get a meat pie.
I'm so proud of you today, son.
Oh, dear. The Nigerian Football Federation called it a mind-boggling show of shame.
The 65th goes in, one centre-back goes to them. That's your man. That's not my fault. That's your man.
Nigerian Football Federation Vice President Mike Ume said it was embarrassing that in one of those games a player scored 11 times, while in the other four goals were scored within a minute and a player scored three own goals.
Tahiti are going, what? What's the problem?
Oh, they're all banned.
Banned.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, dear.
Well, I think that's hasty. At least at least have an investigation.
You need more proof. Oh, dear. And we're going to finish the main of the show. Just a bit of international football. We've got to say Ricky Lambert called up for England. Yes, yeah. He will celebrate. We've got a lot of tweets.
Aren't it? Yeah. Aren't the right?
A lot of tweets against Scotland. Wilfried Tahar also called that for the oldest international fixture of all time. I think it just goes to show what a lack of faith each side's supporters have in their teams, because I think there's still tickets available.
Well, I think that, you know, England, as far as I remember, and you guys may agree, England squad announcements never used to be this depressing.
No. It's such a shame that fixture should hold a lot more weight.
Well, it's a stupid time to have it, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a stupid time to have it, and also in a World Cup, yeah, you should have a bit more respect for your international team, but you don't.
There you go. Now it's time for Pete's game.
It is time for Pete's game. Please welcome to the 2013-2014 season, a league of their Owen Coyle.
Oh! okay.
It's a strong start.
Yeah. It's, it's a proper start.
Yeah. It's a proper start. Clive Mundonca. I played for three cities and a forest between 1990 and 1993.
Stop. Ooh. Kevin Campbell.
No.
Oh, that's a good guess.
You were worried there, weren't you? Mm.
Anything, Luke? No?
Not
anything
yet.
In the old nog?
Biding my time.
Yeah. I was one of Frank Clark's first signings.
Come on, Forrest.
Frankie Clark.
Come on, Forrest.
Frankie Clark.
Sorry, again, I see what you said, Frank Clark. I wasn't listening.
I was one of Frank Clark's first signings.
Stop. Gary Flitcroft.
No.
Stop. Frank Clark's moustache.
I have won.
No, that was homegrown.
I came through the academy, didn't it?
I have won what is known now as the League One. I've won that once, and I've also been a runner up twice as well.
Oh. Ooh. Stop. Stuart Pearce.
No.
No, never Pearce.
I thought I might get a guess out.
Idiot.
I fought for my place with Thierry Bonnelet. Do you remember him?
Yeah, vaguely, yeah.
Thierry Bonnelet.
Stop. Bonnelet. Is it Jason Lee?
No.
Oh.
He's just trying.
I do not think Thierry Bonnelet played up top.
I don't remember. I can't remember who he played.
That's a clue.
Yeah.
Is a clue. Not exactly big in the game.
Oh.
Hang on. That's another clue.
They're literally clues.
Oh, what's his first name? Little.
Oh, is it Glenn Little?
No, it's not Glenn, is it?
It's not Glenn.
It isn't Glenn. Oh, no! Who is it? What's his...
He's not saying yes.
It's somebody Little. I can't think of his...
Des? Brian Little.
Des Little.
Yay!
I knew it wasn't Brian, but I couldn't think of Des.
Well, there you go.
Woo!
Dramatic start.
That's a lovely,
start. That
stressful.
A lot of good mentions this show. Frank Clark.
Oh, we've been so excited. We've massively overrun. I'll go through the correspondence
quickly.
Really quick.
Yeah, go on then. Go on.
Fairly standard question this week.
Yeah.
For those of you who aren't acquainted with how it works, we normally pop out a question on the Twitter and Facebook before the show and invite you to answer. Basically, the purpose it serves is that you do the content so we don't have to bother with it.
We are so lazy.
It works very well.
Violently
generally.
Lazy.
Yeah. But yeah, judge this one on its merits. So this first week's question was, what would you like to see happen this season and why?
Yeah.
So you two have a little think about yours, and I'll read out some from the discerning and very witty public.
Yeah.
Most of which didn't reply, so you got these guys instead. Uh-huh. This is Nick Warner on Twitter. He says, a reference to the game, Pete, Paolo Maldini actually being the answer just once.
and then Pete
forgetting and making it the answer again 10 shows later.
Guarantee that, Latin.
It's an early dig.
Yeah. Alex Rapley says, I'd like to see Steaua Bucharest employ a gay female gypsy as their new manager.
Agreed. That's the winner for me.
I think that should be done.
Yeah, I love that.
While he's in prison, going mental.
Nice one, Alex Rapley. Have we got a prize for him? No, no prizes
around. No prize.
A trip to jail to visit Bajiji because
hot meat pie.
Joe Dabb says, I'd like to see Brendan Rodgers on the touchline waving his white envelopes at the players.
How that answers, okay.
Spike on the Twitter says, some actual real life defending. Not sure why you want to see that, Spike. Yeah. There's nothing good can come of that.
No. We talked about the Confederations Cup, you fool.
Yeah. Richard Mead on the Twitter, I want to see Phil Jones release a face a day calendar.
Yeah.
I think we'd all like to see that. Bit of a topical one. Shane Rin says, I'd like to see Arsene Wenger go all Breaking Bad and start cooking meth. That would be very good, wouldn't it?
That would.
I think that would be excellent.
Yeah. I don't. Mm. Against the law.
Who would he sort of rope in to do it with him?
Who would be his Jesse Pinkman?
Giroud, I think. He'd bring him back off lawn and...
I think his Jesse Pinkman would be Joey Barton.
Yeah.
He just fits the bill.
But he's not in the country, though, is he? That's not fair.
No, he's back at QPR, mate.
Oh, crap.
He's a pundit on BT Sport.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
We love Joy. I'm not having this.
Oh, no.
Graham Hill, penultimate one, mandatory Robot Wars themed stadium reconstruction, fire pits, flipping tiles, and Sir Killalot. Hashtag cease.
Yeah.
Bit of a niche one, that.
Good one.
And to finish us off, friend of the show, Murray James.
Wing back of the Ramble football team.
Yeah, friend of the show.
We haven't played football for ages, have we?
Not important at this point.
He says,
Sven-Göran Eriksson has sex with a fox in the centre circle at Craven Cottage. Marcus Speller watches eagerly, dressed as a fox. It's funny because it could happen.
It would be better if it was at Leicester City.
Mm. Yeah, well, it would be, yeah. It would be more apt, wouldn't it?
But that is my one.
Yeah. And you are dressed as a fox.
I quite like that. Ball and a plinth, please.
Yeah, we had that at the Community Shield. Next question.
Oh, well, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'd like a good pre-World Cup year. Never happens.
No.
What, for England?
Everyone's scared to get injured.
Yeah, England qualifies.
Everyone
for the
wants
World
to
Cup.
Play, so they get angry and want to leave. And they're too scared to get injured.
Luke, I think that's ambitious. Mm. I don't have to give an answer because it's my thing.
You wanted to put pies at Pompey or something like that? Yeah. Yeah.
Pies at Pompey.
Stability. Yeah.
Mm. Pies at Pompey is actually the name of my autobiography. It's available from all good bookshops.
Very good bookshops.
Terribly written.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the end of the show.
Yeah.
No more.
The Dean Windass Hall of Fame is not going to be around this season, or certainly not much anyway. I mean, it might open its little door every now and then.
If something big happens.
If something big happens. But yeah, I'm afraid so. That is the new regime.
Yeah. Mm.
Don't hate us. Mm. Love us.
We've come back off pre-season all live and skinny.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We're no Parkins.
But if something happens which it needs a new induction, I'm sure we could prize open the rusty doors again.
Mm-hmm. When Jim Campbell officially retires from football, maybe.
Yeah, Jim can bloody research him this year, can't he?
No, someone else would have to research him for him. So, yeah, apologies there, but all the profiles are on the website.
I don't think we should apologise. I think we should be pretty remorseless.
Apologise?
Things move on.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. Exactly. But is there any other business? Any other business?
I saw something quite good on the other day about how, we touched on it a second ago, that Colombia, third, in the FIFA rankings,
they're up there.
Going great guns in their qualifications.
The Coca-Cola FIFA rankings.
Yeah, indeed. To give them their full name.
Yeah, there are other rankings available.
I read, and I've not got the full details, and I forgot to print it out, there's some sort of soap opera happening in Colombia at the moment. It's like the most popular show on the telly or something.
Okay.
And it's a soap opera about the Colombian football team of the 90s.
Oh, right.
And so you've got Valderrama, Rincon, Higuita, Espria and stuff.
What about Escobar?
He may well be in it. I've not seen it.
Right.
Sadly, it's not been syndicated onto UK TV, and I can't imagine why.
No.
But so I thought that was quite an interesting point of convo.
That's good.
Mm. I think the actor getting Escobar be like, going, I'm not going to be in this for the full run.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I'd like to say that Pete and I have played football during the summer, haven't we?
Oh,
Peter?
We did, yes. I forgot about
And I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about a back three in glowing terms, right? I didn't make many contributions in the game. I'm very unfit, so I was playing left back. Mm. And Pete was playing in front of me. So it was solid left wing, left side. And we were 3-1 down. And I said, look, old Ali playing right back. He plays defensive midfield of the Ramble team. I had a little tinker. Put him in front of us, back three. We won 6-5.
Yeah. What I like about that is you've been asked to fill in as an extra body for someone else's team, and you've changed the formation midway through the game.
And it worked instantly.
Well, not instantly, because I went and gone and let in two.
Well, that was another but that was another factor.
I let the first one in, then realised I wasn't even standing in the middle of the goal. I was standing on one of the posts. I didn't even give myself a chance.
Oi, but you're having that 3-1 down, changed it, and we scored the next 5 goals.
I'm having it that you complicated it to Pete to such an extent that he just went in goal.
So instead of the profile this season, we will be just talking about our amateur football exploits.
A win's a win's a win.
Win's a win's a
win. Sure is.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a pleasure being back in your ears. We will be back next week, of course. Have a lovely time. The Twitter feed is at Football Ramble. The email address, if you want to get in touch, is show@thefootballramble.com. And the website, of course, is thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me, my bloody beauty.
-67
Finn.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.